Okay. For those of you listening on WTBR, we're in chapter 62 of Bible Readings for the Home, section 6, The Sure Word of Prophecy. And this particular section with 20 questions is about the seven churches. Okay, May 1st, all right. I'm just guessing here because about my calendar. Okay, now my calendar's back on the screen. And you're right. All right, let me do the first one. I don't know how many people can do the reading today. How many have microphones? Because I know Library Girl has one. Bonnie's is useless. Her microphone is just way too low. Family upstairs, I don't know. I don't know if anybody's sitting at the computer. So it's just you and me again there, Library Girl. And Rick doesn't have a mic. Oh, yeah, Rick's probably using the laptop. So, okay. If the microphone is useless, there's nothing you can do. All right. Then you want to do two at a time, Library Girl, or? Fine. Okay. Then I'll do the first two. And if we go close to 9 o'clock, I'm going to have to scoot because we got a church meeting again tonight. We only do one church meeting a month, the last Sunday of the month in the evening. It's a conference call that we do together with all the people that are on the council. And but we've had some important things we have to discuss specifically for some of the brethren that are in Africa. A lot of stuff's happening out there. Praise the Lord. I mean, the Lord is really blessing this movement in an amazing way. Anyway, so we should be done in 45 minutes. Oh, man, I wish I knew what was wrong with my elbow. All right, number one, what title is given the last book of the Bible? In Revelation 1, verse 1, of course, says the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know what? I've yet to see a Bible that spells it with an S, but I know a lot of people, and I used to do it in the past too, that actually called the book of Revelations. But it's just one revelation, of course. But there's a lot of revelations involved in it, probably is what they're thinking. It's one vision, though. But yeah, most of the people I talk to, and I don't correct them. Sometimes, just jokingly, I might, but it's no big deal. But the proper name for the book is Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ, of course, verse 1. Number 2, to whom did those things which are revealed belong? I like this verse because we discussed this a few months ago, especially in regards to this thing that's been going on with the Godhead and the Holy Spirit and all this other stuff, because some of the brethren that have pulled away from us are have gone into studies that you can't find scriptures on some of the questions that they have answers for. And Sister White goes into pretty good detail about, look, if there's nothing in the Word about it, there's a reason for it. There are certain truths, and I go into a little bit of an explanation of this in my own little opinion as to why when people ask questions that I cannot find the answers for in the scriptures, I don't waste a lot of time on them. I say, look, it's a need-to-know basis kind of a thing, obviously, and don't push the issue. You can't second-guess the Lord. With our limited capabilities to decipher Scripture, as well as just to decipher life itself, I can't see second-guessing, trying to, because the Lord has 1,000 answers to one question that we can only come up with 1 or 2 answers for ourselves in life in general. So, anyway, so number 3. Welcome back there, LG. Number 3, or no, I'm sorry, number 2. She's going to do number 3. Number 2, to whom do these, to those things which are revealed belong? And it says in Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever. And so there you have it. And I was trying to explain it to some of the loved ones that have stepped away. It says, look, if it's not in the Bible, don't try to convince me by pioneer writings and stuff, because that's all they have. Oh, good, okay. For the 29:20, is that what, Bonnie, for further study on that? On that particular, oh, no, wait. Oh, yeah, that is from Bonnie. Okay. All right, go ahead there, LG.
Number 3, for what purpose was the revelation given? Revelation 1:1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which which must shortly come to pass. And number four, what great event according to this book is imminent? And verse 7 says, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. The note says, this book not only opens and closes with the subject of Christ's second coming, but its 8 lines of prophecy all reach down to this as the great culminating event to the church and the world.
Amen. Good idea, Lynn. Maybe a Friday night study. We can go over that page that Bonnie put in her room from Brother Rob's website. Okay, number 5. What encouragement is given to study this book? Verse 3 says, blessed. Okay? Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. So that's one mighty, amazing book there, that just by reading it, you're going to be blessed. And, or scared. Either way, I remember that being the first book I ever read in an actual Bible, when I was approached before I was a Christian and before I started getting heavy into the church. I mean, I was always considered devout just by family connections, you know, because we always went as a family to church on holy days of obligation. But around the age of 25 or so, I started going to daily mass, 25 or 26 or something. I left the church when I was 29, I believe that's about when I, you know, 1985. And the way the, hold on a second here. Right. Oh, great. Now I lost my train of thought, too. All right, give me a minute. Okay. All right. Thanks. So I was approached, and this was before I started getting, this is why I started getting into the scriptures more so, because a woman who, I'm not going to go into big, long, drawn-out stories to who she is and how her life was changed, and it was amazing how she went from night and day, but she said it was revealed to her that, or she felt that it was very important that I read the books of Daniel and Revelation, specifically Revelation. And when I read it, I got to tell you, that scared the daylights out of me when I read that book, because I knew that God was involved in writing it, and I knew I didn't understand 99% of those symbols. But it was just so blunt, and there were so many scary things that he was talking about in them. And then when he said that, for the time is at hand, whoa, that's when I really started getting into it, because, since the time is at hand, I got a wife and kids, you know, and then I got loved ones all over the place, and I thought, you know, because, I don't know, it just scared me. Anyway, question 6 says, to whom was the book dedicated? John, in verse 4 it says, John to the 7 churches which are in Asia. Well, to the 7 churches which are in Asia is where the book was dedicated.
Number 7. What were the names of these 7 churches? What thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the 7 churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. Verse 11. The note says, these 7 churches and the messages addressed to them apply to 7 periods or states of the church reaching from the first to the second advent of Christ. Under this emblematical representation of the 7 churches of Asia, says Vitringa in the comprehensive commentary, the Holy Spirit has delineated 7 different states of the Christian church, which would appear in succession, extending to the coming of our Lord and the consummation of all things. Their good qualities and their defects are pointed out with admonitions, exhortations, and warnings suitable for each. all of which are also applicable to individual Christian experience. Number eight, by what title is the first state of the church distinguished? This is from Revelation 2, verse 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write. The note says, the meaning of Ephesus is desirable and fitly describes the character and condition of the church in its first state when its members received the doctrine of Christ in its purity and enjoyed the benefits and blessings of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. This applies to the first century or during the lifetime of the apostles. See dates in the accompanying diagram showing the beginning and close of the seven periods. Wow, I can seriously not read that diagram. It's printed so tiny. It looks like it starts from, AD 31 through, I don't know, to the end of time. There you go. Okay. Made that out. So, Nick, number nine, please.
Yeah, I know it is hard to read that. I mean, I would probably have to put on three pairs of glasses. Let's see, 31 to 100, and then 100 to 323, 538, of course, to 1798, and then 1798 to 1833, then 1833 to 1844, and 1844 to present day. But that was using actually three pairs of glasses, one regular pair and then another pair with bifocals. Oh, yeah, that's right. I got two eyeballs, too. Go ahead.
I never knew this. Apparently, this chart has what the churches mean. Okay, and what she said was Ephesus is desirable or means desirable. So squinting, it says on the chart, Ephesus is desirable. Smyrna, sweet-smelling. Pergamos, elevation. Thyatira is contrition. Sardis says that which remains. Philadelphia, brotherly love. And Laodicea, judging the people. So anyway, thought that was interesting.
Amen. Especially judging the people. How do those people that declare that they say we are in the age of Laodicea, but they don't believe in the investigated judgment. I mean, they'll even give you dates, some of them give you dates as to when they believe, it came, and they never get right on, but, we understand it being 1844 and stuff like that, of course. When the end times began, at the end of the 2300-year prophecy, they'll convince their brethren that they are in the age of, the final age of the church, the Laodicean church, or Laodicean age, but they say there is no such thing as an investigated judgment. There is a judgment day only. And so, sad but true. That's the way the truth can be manipulated, and the eyes have to be blinded for something that blunt and that obvious to be missed. It's willful blinding, though, because the Lord does not, allow such lack of knowledge. It's the fault of the child, his or herself. All right, number nine. After commending this church for their good works, what charge did the Lord bring against them? Verse 4 and 5 says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. This happens a lot with babes in Christ, too. They have a tendency to forget their first love. And the note says, the first love is a love of the truth, and a desire of making it known to others. The first works are the fruit of this love. And as everybody knows, a babe in Christ, a case in point would be like jailhouse conversions. And, especially if they come out recently, as soon as they get out, they've forgotten their first love and they're not concerned with spreading the truth. But I've seen a lot of babes in Christ that were on fire for the Lord, and within a month or two or three or maybe a year or so, they're just, they don't care anymore. So, all right, number 10. What name is given to the second state of the church? And it says in verse 8, and unto the angel of the church Smyrna write, And here the note says the meaning of Smyrna is myrrh or sweet smelling, savor, and applies to the period of time when many of the saints of God suffered martyrdom under pagan Rome. And you got to understand a lot of, there would be a lot of sweet smelling savor there, because what is prayers of the faithful? Incense onto the nostrils of our God. We know about the sanctuary. We know about the incense on the other side of that, you know, the curtain that's loaded with all the bloods and stuff, the smelly blood. And so you know during this martyrdom period, this, you know, the 500 million Christians that were killed that we know of, that we can only count. We can't count those three nations that were annihilated, of course, or even the ones that we don't know about, that Rome has done in dungeons and things. But imagine all the prayers that were going up during this time. Trial like that generates a lot of prayer. And that's one of the reasons for trial even today, because a lot of us need to get back on our knees. So anyway, there you go, number 11.
Number 11, how is the closing period of tribulation of the church during this time referred to? This is verse 10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Note, the most severe of what is commonly known as the 10 persecutions under pagan Rome began under the emperor Diocletian and continued from 303 AD to 313 AD, a period of 10 prophetic days. Number 12. What name is given to the third state of the church? And to the angel of the church of Pergamos write, that was verse 12. Note, the meaning of Pergamos is height or elevation, and fitly represents that period of the Christian church beginning with the reign of the Emperor Constantine in 313 AD, when the power which had put the Christians to death espoused the cause of the church, and by rewards, edicts, and promised promotions to office in the government, sought to induce the people to become Christians, thus bringing a flood of worldliness and corruption into the church. Many of the heathen rites and ceremonies previously introduced into the Christian religion, including the heathen festival, Sunday, or Sunday, were then established by law, resulting in the first day of the week taking the place of the Sabbath of the Bible.
Amen. You got a small human nearby? It sounds like a baby cooing in the background or crying or whatever. And every now and then I hear grinding noises. Is that like one of those grind-up swings?
Oh, definitely no small humans here. God forbid. You probably might hear a train going by every now and then. I don't know. Sorry if it's so loud. And I have been having lots of computer problems, so who knows? It might be the computer. I don't know.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, it's not that loud. You can hardly even hear it. I was just trying to figure out what the noises were. Either that or a cat meowing. I don't know. But anyway, number 13. How was the faithfulness of this church commended? And it says in verse 13, I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. And then the note says, Antipas comes from two Latin words, anti, opposed to, and papus, or father or pope, and denotes a class of people who were opposed to papal rule, you know, regarding Pergamos. So, wow, isn't that something? How the Bible gets that graphic there. Wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr. Wow. Okay, number 14. What title was given to the fourth state of the church? Verse 18 says, and unto the angel of the church Thyatira right? Verse 18, that's more or less what verse 18 was. So that church's name is Thyatira or Thyatira. Anyway, the note says, Thyatira means song of labor or sacrifice of contrition and points out the condition of God's people during the long, dark period of 1,260 years, beginning with the establishment of the papal supremacy in 538 A.D., and closing with the downfall of that power in 1798. During that time, millions of saints of God were put to death in the most cruel manner that wicked men and demons could invent. Christie referred to this time in his wonderful prophecy recorded, it should be Christ referred to this. I always thought they were quoting an author here. But Christ referred to this time in his wonderful prophecy recorded in Matthew 24 in these words. For then shall be great tribulation, such as what is not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor shall ever be. And except those days be shortened, there should be no flesh saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. The tribulation of the 1,260 years was cut short through the influence of Reformation. And I cover this a couple of times on the website, and people still send me emails slamming and say, oh, no, there's a future great tribulation. No, that's the time of trouble. They don't seem to realize that was the time, the Great Tribulation. And it's no mistake that you don't see this stuff advertised in today's history books. Because it dwarfs, literally dwarfs Hitler's 6 million, which is also, in fact, the Vatican's 6 million Jews that were killed. But when you put up, if it's only 100 million, you know, if it's only 100 million, and we know it's like 500 million, do the math. It's more than 12 times the amount. Right? 10 times, and then, you know, see, well, I don't know how many times it is, but 10 times the amount of 6 million would only be 60 million. And we know it's well over 100 million. It's, Fox's Book of Martyr records it as 500 million. So I think that's where I leave off, right? On for 15 for you? Yeah.
Number 15. What promise did God leave for these persecuted ones? Verse 25 through 27 says, but that which ye have already hold fast till I come, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. Number 16, by what name is the fifth state of the church addressed? Revelation 3:1 says, unto the angel of the church in Sardis write. Note, Sardis means song of joy or that which remains. A cause for joy at that time was the fact that the great tribulation of the people of God was at an end. It was only as a result of the Reformation that any of God's people were left remaining. See Matthew 24, verses 21 and 22, and note under question 14. The Sardis church continued from the close of the papal power, 1798 AD, until the beginning of the Great Advent Movement in 1833. Which was marked by the falling of the stars in November 13 of that year, as foretold by Christ in Matthew 24:29. Am I done? Yeah, I'm done. Sorry.
I think you are. Yeah, you did 15 and 16. Okay. The 17. What enduring title is given the sixth church? And in verse or chapter 3, verse 7 of Revelation says, and unto the angel in the church of Philadelphia, write. And note, of course, Philadelphia means brotherly love and applies to the church under the judgment hour message. And 18 says, what words to this church show the second advent near? Shoe the second advent? That's something like Ed Sullivan, that's how he would say it. That's a really big shoe. All right, because they misspelled it here. It's obviously show the second advent near. Verse 11, behold, I come quickly, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Okay.
Yeah, I love these typos. Number 19, what is Christ's message to the last church? And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, I know thy works, that thou art neither, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that, I'll start over. What is Christ's message to the last church? And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Verses 14 through 19. See, I gotta not look at the text yet. Okay, note, Laodicea signifies the judgment.
Okay, she's got stuck in a leg and she's probably going to fall out. Usually, sometimes I can clear the queue and prevent it from falling out sometimes if you catch it quick enough. Nope, but that time I didn't. She'll be back. Okay, there she is. I just read the note there. Pick it up. You started at the note and you got stuck. So, you know, in that leg. The note on number 19. Somebody want to put the URL in the room for her?
Okay. The note on 19. That's where I left? Okay. Note, Laodicea signifies the judging of the people, or according to Cruden, a just people. This church exists in the time of the judgment and the proclamation of being Christ's second coming. See Revelation 14, verses 6 through 16. This is a time of great profession with but little vital godliness and true piety. Number 20, scroll down here. Number 20, what encouragement is given to heed this message? Verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door.
Okay, I don't think you can hear me because sometimes the lag will let her jump, you know, but she might fall out again. Are you still there? If you are, pop your bubble up. She might be stuck in a long lag. It's weird it's happening now, right? We're just about ready to get to finish. But I don't know if she can hear me because she's still in the room. I pulled her off the queue real quick. I waited 5 seconds at least, so that gives her an opportunity to, you know, if it's just a short lag. But I don't even know if she can hear. Oh, okay, there she goes. She'll be back. Let her do number 20 here. Okay, if you want to welcome back, you want to just do, you know, number 20 again? Oh, you want me to finish? Okay. Okay, will do. Number 20, what encouragement is given to heed this message? In verse 20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. And notice he knocks. He doesn't just barge in and open the door. I don't know if you've ever seen that ancient painting that they had many years ago where they show this verse in a painting and they show Jesus knocking on the door. And if you notice, there was no doorknob on that painting. But that's not because he couldn't open it. It's just because he chose not to. He gives us the free will. All right, the note says the pointed searching messages to the seven churches contain most important lessons of admonition, encouragement, and warning for all Christians in all ages. The seven promises to the overcomer found in this line of prophecy, and for the sake of those listening on the radio, look up Revelation 2, verse 7, verse 11, verse 17, verses 26 to 28, chapter 3, verse 5, verse 12 and 21, like what we just obviously went through, with the eight or universal promise recorded in Revelation 21:7, form a galaxy of promises as precious, as comforting, and as inspiring as any recorded in the scriptures. So there you have it. Praise the Lord. All righty, if you can get on your knees, please do so. Let's pray. The rented lips, girl. Or borrowed by cuspids. Well, no, I don't think you need teeth to speak. Okay. All right, by your hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for the written word. Thank you for blessing us with this treasure map home, this pearl of great price. We thank you, Father, for the faith that you bless us with, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Thank you for giving us a desire in our hearts to want to know these things and for letting us be alive in these last days. You could have had us born thousands of years ago or even hundreds of years ago, but you chose to live now. So thank you for that, and thank you for blessing us with the tools necessary, whether they're spiritual or physical or even financial, the things that we need to do that which you called us to do. Bless this week ahead of us, and let us all come together again on Tuesday night to go into the prophecies. And once again, we thank you for blessing all those in our prayer list in the ways that they need it the most. In Jesus' name we pray.